So we'd like to thank all of you, and we're grateful to you that you have all gathered on this sunny Sunday afternoon. And everyone is grateful to be here than somewhere else. It's quite soothing. So the blessings of all the assembled Vaishnavas. Today we'd like to narrate some pastimes of Lord Ram and his devotees. In fact, we have seen or heard the earlier sections of the Ramayana, and trying to enter into a pastime of Lord Ram in connection with his devotee, and that devotee is Hanuman. So we'd like to center our discussions today on the glories of Lord of Hanumanji in respect to his service to the Supreme Lord. When Hanumanji is first sent as a messenger of Sugriv, he meets Lord Ram in disguise, and Lord Ram is not revealed his identity. Only when Hanumanji accepts to unfold his own identity, then is Lord Ram able to reveal. In fact, everyone is misidentified in this world, and we come as different deputies or designations when we come before the Lord. Therefore, in the Vaishnava etiquette, it is said that one has to typically conduct when we come to the temple, having a proper dress code, having proper frame of mind, offering the obeisances. It's simply to dissolve those hard-set designations. Yes, when we are in the world outside, we have so many designations, we have so many roles, so many responsibilities. We have assumed a position, a status of respect. But as when you come from in front of the Lord, if you maintain those designations, those status, those positions formed by our own mental conception or by the society around us, we won't be able to get the darshan very clearly. Both were seeing each other. Hanumanji was seeing Lord Ram. Lord Ram was seeing Hanumanji. But who was seeing each? Who was seeing actually? Only Lord Ram was seeing. So actually, we are not the seer. We are not the enjoyers of what we see. We are simply meant to be seen. We are meant to be enjoyed. And that is the meaning of darshan. Darshan does not mean that we come to the temple of the Lord and see how wonderfully the Lord is dressed. But we come to the temple and we dress ourselves first, internally. And therefore, the very pastime that Lord Ram is deputing Hanumanji to send as a messenger to Mother Sita, and that section of the Ramayana is known as Sundar Kand. Very, very important name of this section, and the most revered and the most recited and the most popular sections of the Ramayana. And the contention comes that who is this? Who is the Sundar in this Sundar Kand? Sundar Kand, who is this? Who is the Sundar? Who is the beautiful one? Obviously, ideas would be floated that Lord Ram is the most beautiful, handsome, and the most charming personality, the Supreme Personality of Godhead with beautiful features. And then the other beautiful contender could be Mother Sita, for whom Ravan kidnapped her all the way from Nasik, brought her all the way to Lanka. That was the beauty of attraction of Mother Sita that brought Ravan all the way to Nasik. So then, but then who is the real Sundar? Who is the real beautiful one? Hanumanji is beautiful. We don't go and see and offer our obeisance to Hanuman and so how we see the beauty, but then we rather see, oh, we spend more time at the Radha Gopinath Darshan. So what is beautiful is where we spend time watching, where we spend most of our energy thinking about, absorbing about. But in this wonderful section, Hanumanji is brought out in his most beautiful features. So much so that Lord Ram himself is attracted by Hanumanji. If suppose the most beautiful personality is attracted by someone else, who becomes the most beautiful? The one who the most beautiful till now is attracted by. Hanumanji attracts the heart of Lord Ram. And the beauty that we are talking about is never on the external front. Beauty is skin deep, as they say. Researchers have found how this body is constituted. If you see very graphically, we always were told that you know how the body is made up of. It's just a very thin millimeter of skin, just packaging everything. Beneath are so many cellular activities going on. There are so many fluids moving around. There are bones. There are muscles. There is flesh. But even beneath that, there is beauty. Even penetrating these layers, when one enters in the deep seat of the consciousness, that is the heart, that is what Lord Ram is seeking. And therefore, Hanumanji may not be so attractive in his form, but he is attracted by the beauty of his surrender. And therefore, the real beauty is the beauty of surrender to Lord Ram, to Lord Krishna. So, embarking on Hanuman's tryst with Lord Ram's service, Sugriv has made commitment after Lord Ram has killed Vali. And more internal reason of why Lord Ram killed Vali was that Vali was actually a devotee of Lord Ram. Had he seen the Lord, encountered Lord from the front, he would have surrendered his life. But yet, Lord Ram has promised Sugriv that he will help regain his lost kingdom. And because Vali had forcibly kidnapped the wife of Sugriv. So just imagine, if Lord Ram would have given shelter to Vali, the very mission that Lord Ram had set out for, to punish a criminal who had kidnapped someone else's wife, would give shelter to another person who had kidnapped someone else's wife. So Lord Ram did not want to. Lord Ram is Maryada Purushottam. He is very concerned how he sets the right standard, how he meets the best benchmark standards. So therefore, Lord Ram decided to kill Vali from the back. And when Vali was dying in the lap of Lord Ram, Vali has practically surrendered his life. So Lord Ram said that, do you want me to revive your life back? I can do that because you are punished now. Should I revive your life back? He said, no, what a glorious departure that would be. Living one's body in the lap of Lord Ram. That is more fortunate than getting a life back, and who knows where would my last breath be. Therefore, King Kulashekar also prays, let my consciousness become now absorbed in the Supreme Lord, else while when my body is in a total disarray at the time of death, I won't be able to comfortably, I will not be able to concentratedly absorb my consciousness on the Lord's forms, pastimes and qualities and the name of the Lord. So, Vali could not perform any active devotional service like Sugriva performed. But he prayed to Lord Ram that he may get an opportunity to serve in the next life. Dying in front of the Lord or amidst the devotees or living one's body is not an escape route for moksha. It is an escape route from the service from Maya. and eternal service to Krishna. That means service continues. Seva. Sometimes this seva is very enticing word when you come to initial days of Krishna consciousness and we are happy, eager, enthusiastic for each service. When the middle part of our Krishna consciousness comes, then we think that seva has to be taken intelligently. Which seva? What seva? For how much time? These questions have to be asked. For whom? How much is involved? What is to be done? Okay. And after the third phase of Krishna consciousness is how to avoid seva. And to describe it that this is also seva. This is a higher service. And therefore sometimes by we spend time years in Krishna consciousness, we may become wise, we may become adept at knowing how things work in an institution, service institution. So then we know how to make a roundabout and still, you know, justify our services as being the services that should be done. And therefore, Wali prayed that he may get an opportunity to render active devotional service. And that's how he became. And he became, he appeared in his next life as Arjun, the son of Indra. The Wali was son of Indra. Again, he came as son of Indra, as Arjun, being the Lord's constant associate. Now he was able to render all his devotional service nicely throughout. And Sugriva, who was the son of sun god, became Karna. And he was fighting against Lord Krishna. So therefore, this is the greatness of Lord and his devotees. The Lord knows the devotees and the devotees understand the heart of the Supreme Lord. So here Sugriva is now gained the kingdom, but now during the month of Chaturmasya, if you'd like to welcome Praj, Raj Prabhu and Radha Jeevan Prabhu, who just descended from Shri Barsana Dham, right? And they have come here to offer us service to Vrindavan, service to Braj. Just imagine, service, very intimate service. So we'll have them hear about what services that we can render in short time from now. As I just stop my blabbering, they will be able to offer real, practical, tangible services in the service of, and maybe at least the service that we can try to do is to inspire you to become Hanuman, to do something impossible. Sometimes we always thought it is impossible. So we'll discuss this as we continue. So Sugriva orders his army. After the 4 months of Chaturmasya, he is awakened by Lakshman and said, now he's jolted basically that you have forgotten your commitment. And therefore, sometimes a jolt, sometimes a harsh awakening call is welcome in the life of a devotee who may think that everything in Krishna consciousness is going very nice. So Prabhupada was once referring to his disciples, and his disciples were the earlier years of Krishna consciousness. They said to Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada, those were good old days when we were very close to you, we could hear you, we could talk to you, we could interact with you, and it was very sweet, intimate time. Prabhupada said, there are no old days, there are no good old days in the moment. In the sense that, in the future is to be contemplated and to be worked upon, and not just thinking about the nice days of the past. So therefore, sometimes when you go on a yatra, initially there were yatras of 500, 600 devotees. It was very intimate. We could have so many personal relationships. But now, we seem to get lost. But then Radhana Swami Maharaj mentioned, more the devotee is, the more the opportunity to for Vaishnava Seva. The more opportunity to render devotional service, more opportunity to inspire each other and to increase the family of Vaishnavas. This should be the happiness, or this should be the sacrifice in which we are becoming happy. So Sugriv was reminded by Lakshman, and he came and he told to Ram, my army is yours. He was ready to offer everything that he possessed. In fact, A devotee of the Lord sees everything in the service of the Lord. One Srila Prabhupada was walking, having a morning walk in the Regent's Park in London. And that time, there are a lot of trees, and Prabhupada would get his brushing twigs. He would use datun. And then he would, disciples would get, so one devotee plugged a branch of the tree and got the datun. Suddenly the guard out there, the attendant, he came and started ranting and raving and saying, you can't plug this like that. And then the matter was resolved, and they came to devotees, and Prabhupada said that, referring to the attendant as being from London or from Britain or United Kingdom, said, you all British came to India, and you came to India and you usurped our property for 200 years. And now we are taking two twigs and you are complaining. So, generally everything belongs to Krishna. And when we take something from Krishna, we may possess, it may be in our possession, but actually it is Krishna's. Just because it is in our possession does not mean that we are the owners. The tendency comes, as soon as this watch is constantly worn by us, this dress is constantly worn by us, the things that are connected to this body are constantly possessed, acquired, we tend to get the idea that this is mine. Therefore, Ram's first order was, first of all, locate the abode of Ravan. He was not, Lord Ram did not say, chalo, dham chalte hain, let's go to a dham. The first thing was enter the city of Maya. Srila Prabhupada stayed in Vrindavan but contemplated on New York. Sitting in Vrindavan. Generally we may think, oh, one has to be sitting in Vrindavan. Why one should be thinking about anything but Vrindavan? But that contemplative saint sitting in Vrindavan was constantly meditating on how to bring back Sita back to the abode of Ayodhya. How to bring back the what belongs to Lord Ram in its rightful position. So first was to locate where Sita is captive and then ascertain Sita's condition. Therefore, these are how the spiritual master, we can think of this of the situation as Sita Devi being the representative of a lost soul in the samsara of mental existence, captive, held captive in Lanka, the abode of the material energy, within the forest, the body, and the mind and the senses. So, this is very practical. Sometimes, once Srila Prabhupada was having a walk in the precincts of the Krishna Balaram temple, and then one of the devotees, Vishal Prabhu, he was saying that he was always glorifying Srila Prabhupada. Oh, so you are so great. By your great goodness, by your divine grace, by your kind goodness, as the great professional retired reciters were glorifying Prithu Maharaj, the same Bhagavatam shlokas he was quoting and reciting, thinking that he'll please Prabhupada by some words, some nice praise. And Srila Prabhupada saw, and actually he had given a stick, a nice silver ornamented wooden stick, I mean nicely carved. With his stick, Prabhupada pointed to a puddle of water in the Krishna Balaram temple and said, Prabhupada said that by your divine grace, this is puddle of water. What you do about it? What is this? Oh, sorry Srila Prabhupada, actually, you know, it's my mistake, it's my problem. No, actually I'm a foolish, I'm a fool. Prabhupada said, do something practical. Don't just go on praising. Don't go on saying, nice, we may praise each other for one's devotional service and then remain there. Prabhupada said, no, just do something practical. And then some devotees later on said, ask Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada, many people also say that you are not doing something practical. They do something practical. As you are saying to us, do something practical, the karmis also tell us, do something practical. Just by praying, Prabhupada said, do something practical by praying, what will happen? simply by praying. And Prabhupada was asked by the disciple again, that Prabhupada, the karmis also tell us the same thing. Do something practical, you are only praying. So how to understand who's correct? Both are saying do something practical. How to understand the practicality of this practical statement? And then Srila Prabhupada said, practical means that I will try my best and Krishna will do everything. My business is to surrender to Krishna. And Krishna will do everything. But I must not lack in my surrender. That is the meaning of practical. And that's how Srila Prabhupada gave us the practical way of how one should follow the instructions of the spiritual master. One should know that this, when the order of the spiritual master comes, one should not find out how it can be done. It should be done. It must be done. Therefore, we must try to do something about it, and Krishna will reveal how it will get done. Therefore, Shyam Sundar Prabhu was once asked in an assembly of devotees in the question answer session, what is the single most factor for advancing in Krishna consciousness? And he said, contemplated for some time and said, risk. Taking risk in Krishna consciousness. That means coming out of the comfort zone, coming out of the clouded mentality that how can it be done? I am such a tiny jiva. How can I do this great Herculean task? But actually, when we start to take risk for Krishna, Krishna sees that he has jumped. Now I have to catch him if he falls. So our business is to surrender, to jump to the order of the spiritual master, to the order of the Supreme Lord. And Krishna will take care. Krishna will protect. So Sugriva did not send just one party all to the south. He sent four parties headed by Sushena, who went to the western regions. He sent to Shatabali, he went to the northern limits. And Vinda, he was sent to the eastern direction. While he sent the team led by Angad, Mainda, Dvivida, Jambavan, Hanuman and all the other capable monkeys for searching for Mother Sita in the southern direction. This shows a very nice move by Sugriva. He was known, there was an idea that Ravan must have gone to the south and that Dabodalamka is also in the south. But not sparing any not sparing any efforts, he decided to send soldiers all over the sides. And therefore, results or no results in bhakti, one must not spare any efforts in the service of the Lord. We know that here we are going to fail. What is the point in trying? That is not how one attains the spiritual success by simply, Prabhupada said, by blindly following the orders of the spiritual master. And then within that you have the understanding how to exactly execute. So therefore, Prabhupada was saying, Guru Kripa Prabhu was in Japan and he was preaching. Japan is now is in the midst of a heavy nuclear turmoil, actually. And somehow or other, can we just imagine what Prabhupada said so many years ago? And he said, Prabhupada, there is nothing happening here. Not many people are coming. Maybe, and actually, practically, he closed the center. And actually, he wrote Prabhupada that there is nothing happening. So Prabhupada wrote a letter back and said, why did you stop that center? Did I tell you to stop? No. Go back, sit in your office and chant Hare Krishna. And Prabhupada compared this example with a nuclear reactor. Amazing. Somehow or other, this connection with nuclear reactor is there since Prabhupada, when actually there were no reactors that time. Only the fact that that was actually a site of a nuclear disaster from a bomb outside its own country. And Prabhupada said, just sit in your office and just by chanting Hare Krishna, everything will come in due course of time. How? Just like a nuclear radiation leak. Its leak is very small, but the effect is very disastrous. We now understand that. Therefore, Prabhupada said, just like the Chernobyl nuclear accident in Russia, a small leak devastated the whole region and so many people were permanently disabled, maimed, and deformities. Similarly, the chanting of Hare Krishna is like a powerful, devotionally nuclear radiation. You just send a radiation, however small it is. If it is sincere radiation, genuine radiation, it will simply affect everything in due course of time. And therefore, this is how, results or no results, we must continue to perform our devotional service. Else, there is a possibility that we may lose our hope and faith in the process of Krishna consciousness over a period of time. Therefore, Sugriva placed confidence that Hanuman, he is the most capable of all. And it is the Lord Ram Singh Sugriv placing confidence in Hanuman. He gave the signet ring to Hanuman that if when you meet Sita, you give this as a mark that I am a messenger of Ram. And bring back the message of Sita. That was all. That's all. That was just small instruction. Sometimes devotees keep asking, what is the instruction for us? And Prabhupada says that I have given everything. All the instructions are in my books. And therefore, Prabhupada has written these books. And therefore, Prabhupada was being asked by some disciple, why have you given so many books? Prabhupada said, I have given so many books so that by reading these books, you will be convinced to chant Hare Krishna. Because after some time, we lose the conviction. Why are we doing what are we doing? Especially we are doing chanting Hare Krishna and results are not coming. Especially when we know that we are very difficult to achieve. Very difficult to achieve what we are trying. Prabhupada said, we are having such a lofty goal. The spiritual world, it's not an ordinary destination. Therefore, since the destination is great, therefore the endeavor also should be similarly very, very consolidated. Therefore, just when Guru places the disciple, places confidence in the disciple, Krishna also becomes confident of that devotee's success. Therefore, it is all important to gain the faith and trust of the spiritual master by showing steady commitment. Ram officiates Hanuman as the empowered envoy, as the empowered messenger. Similarly, Prabhupada actually says that Krishna, it is not possible to preach this Krishna consciousness without being empowered by the Lord. So, this is fantastic. In fact, Prabhupada said, was one asked by my disciple, Prabhupada, is that the relationship with the Acharya, with Krishna in terms of preaching the message? And that continues. Prabhupada said, yes. And then he said, disciple asked, do the Acharyas go back to Godhead? Prabhupada said, Acharyas don't go back to Godhead. They simply traverse one planet to another, continuously preaching the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and doing that major Herculean task of reclaiming the living entities. Prabhupada was saying in Germany that Hitler also is Shaktivaj Avatar. And sometimes you may think that, you know, how did Prabhupada say that? One of the disciples recounts in his memories, of course, is mentioned. Prabhupada mentioned that Shaktivesh Avatar means one who is empowered either to do good or to do bad. So therefore, Duryodhan, when he was trying to commit suicide, after being insulted by Arjun and the Pandavas, when he was trying to fight with the Gandharvas and he lost to the Gandharvas, and then Arjun reclaimed Duryodhan's rescued Duryodhan from the clutches of the Gandharvas, and Duryodhan was ashamed that he was brought before Yudhishthira Maharaj as if humiliated and embarrassed. So he didn't like it. So when he went back to the camp Hastinapur, he said that I won't be able to live with this embarrassment and humiliation. I will commit suicide. He was about on the verge of committing suicide, and then there were celestial beings, the Danavas, the Rakshasas, who came. And he said that you are deputed by us to simply defeat the pious Pandavas, who are the representative of the demigods. Therefore, you are not on your own. You are on a mission sent by us. And therefore, the war of Kurukshetra was not a war between the Pandavas and the Kauravas. It was a war on a higher dimension. It is a war on the dimension of the Devas and the Danavas, who had their representatives on the earthly planet, as the Pandavas and the Kauravas. So therefore, Ravan was similar. Hare Krishna, Vijay Prabhu ki Jai. So, this is a very nice lesson to understand that the Ramayana is not about the killing of Ravana. Simply, it is the killing of the potency of evil represented by Ravan. And therefore, of course, Lord Ram killed Ravan in a very fantastic way, but these were simply representatives of the evil powers. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada took that great order when he was requested by his spiritual master, Sri Srimad Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, that go to the West and preach this message of Bhagavad Gita to the people of the Western world in the English language. This will be good for you and will be good for everyone. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada considered this order. He found it impossible, but he tried. And Prabhupada says later that one can postpone the order of the spiritual master, but one cannot neglect the order of the guru. Therefore, the monkeys went on search and they went through so many difficult situations, and finally they came to a cave. They went inside. They found that they found a very devilish looking a demoness, Swayam Prabha. But she said that you are here. There is no one like, they look like this. If they should be Sita, but she said that you cannot, once having entered this cave, one cannot go out. But then, seeing the despair on the face of the monkeys, finally she left. She said, you close your eyes and then I'll send you outside. They were facing difficulties after difficulties. There was nothing to eat, there was nothing to drink, and the mission was looking impossible. And therefore, sometimes we start with the hope in Krishna consciousness, but then turns into hopelessness. How are we ever able to conquer this formidable enemy of lust, greed, anger, envy, pride, illusion? And sometimes we think that there are so many obstacles placed, as if placed by Krishna only, who knows but Krishna. So sometimes Krishna places very great obstacles in the lives of devotees. And how to understand this? And in fact, Srila Prabhupada's life is an example of that, and he tried to spread Krishna consciousness. Somehow or other he got his Jhansi center, but he was flourishing very nicely. He was thinking of making the League of Devotees and making it India-wide, planning and, you know, setting up everything. And then suddenly the land was then revoked by the trustee. And then Srila Prabhupada was thinking, why is that happening? I'm trying my best. I'm doing it for Krishna. I'm doing it for my spiritual master. Had Krishna not taken up Jhansi, he would not have got the whole world. He would have remained in India. In fact, Srila Prabhupada was riding success in New York, in Montreal, in Canada, in San Francisco, London. Centers were opening. Los Angeles became a thriving center of Krishna consciousness. Example. And then there was the disciples who again became lost in illusion, thinking that Srila Prabhupada is not ordinary. They started to over magnify the stature of Srila Prabhupada by ascribing him to be incarnation of Krishna, as Krishna. And then there were some others after some time who went to the other extreme. And out of all this, Prabhupada became very, very dejected. And sometimes even an acharya like that, and Prabhupada was praying to Shri Rukmini Dwarkadish in Los Angeles. So why are they doing this to me? You brought me here. You have done this so nice for me. Now why are you telling me to go? Prabhupada could not have difficulties. So Prabhupada was thinking, they were in books, no type, no founder acharya, just A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. No Prabhupada, no His Divine Grace, no founder acharya. Prabhupada was thinking this was another kind of deviation. So deviation took place in Prabhupada's absence. And then Prabhupada was thinking, why is this? And actually he was praying to Rukmini Dwarkadish, you have given this so nice temple, why are you telling me to go? One of the devotees, he says in memory, actually Rukmini Das told Srila Prabhupada that I will give better temple than this, than Vatsika at Los Angeles. Go to India, I will give better temple. And that was the Krishna Balaram temple in Vrindavan. Prabhupada came to India. Prabhupada was thinking that my Guru Maharaj told me to preach in the West, and he left the preaching services in the India for my God brothers. So I won't do that, because that was not the order. But here, Guru Krishna Prasade Pai, Bhakti Leta Bhi. So sometimes Guru Krishna makes combined orders. One instructs, the other commands. So then Rukmini Dharmakrishna is practically commanded, go to India. And Srila Prabhupada was able to expand the preaching front in India. So sometimes when we calculate what Krishna does with us and we try to make justifications and speculate, then we become lost in our Krishna consciousness. Therefore, we must wait for Krishna to reveal and unfold what he has in store for us. And then the monkeys, finally Angad, the leader, only decided that I will fast. People are fasting until death for different cause. But those times they were fasting till death for Krishna's cause. If we cannot do our service justly, then in this case Angad decided to lose hope and fast. But in that case, Hanumanji inspired Angad and tried to create dissension amongst the monkeys that, you know, if you simply say that you will fast and the other monkeys also will join you. No, these monkeys are very attached to their families. They will leave to fast here and die, and they will go and report to Angad that he is just trying to escape his responsibility. So Lakshman will come and he will kill you. And then finally Hanumanji increased the spirit of Angad till the time, as they were thinking of fasting till death, Sampadi came, the elder brother of Jatayu, and he was thinking it's a nice meal, ready meal. And Sampati came and he was trying to look as if these are sitting prey for me. So the monkey said, see, destiny is simply clearly dictating us. We have planned to fast, and here is the providence. He said, providence is now complying with our decision. Sometimes what decisions we take in despair and hopelessness sometimes looks very justified and actually looks very real and looks very Krishna conscious decision. But actually it is not. It is done out of a false ego. And therefore, Prabhupada therefore said, no, we have to keep fighting till last breath, not give hope and not retire just because it is so difficult. And then they were thinking, actually, you know, this. So they started to thinking, whom to blame now? We can't just blame destiny. We have to put some blame on someone, because actually we are not responsible for our decision. Someone else made me to become like this. And therefore he said, actually it is Kaikeyi. So they also remembered Kaikeyi. Had she not sent Lord Ram to the forest, had Lord Ram not come with Mother Sita, had Mother Sita not been kidnapped by Ravana, and had not Ram met Sugriva, we would not be here. We would be enjoying in our Kishkindha Kshetra, passionate activities of monkeys, and, you know, enjoying everything else. And why is this suddenly austerity? Sometimes austerity is required in Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada was walking and with disciples, and there were two lady disciples. And they were in sari, well dressed in saris, and that was a winter time. It was snowing, and there were two ladies on the opposite side of the road, and they were in mini skirts. And Prabhupada, they were looking at each other. The ladies were looking at these ladies and they were looking at each other. Prabhupada said, just see. Their austerity is for sense gratification and your austerity is for Krishna consciousness. Austerity is there because in winter also they are wearing so bare clothes. So they are also performing austerities for sense gratification. It's not that it's enjoyable. Even to enjoy, you have to have sense gratification, so you have to have austerities. And here you are performing Krishna consciousness, so you are also having austerities. So what is the problem? Austerity cannot be given up. Austerity will come. Better to perform the austerity for Krishna. So, the monkeys then started to narrate the killing of Jatayu. See, Jatayu also gave up his life for Krishna. So that was one positive Krishna katha that they did. Other than blaming Kaikeyi, they talked about Jatayu. As soon as they glorified the great devotee of the Lord, immediately the doors for expansion of Krishna consciousness opened. So sometimes when we discuss a problem, we become more negative. Sometimes discussing problem looks very nice. How nicely we are discussing the problem. And there was one of Srila Prabhupada's secretaries who was talking outside out of Srila Prabhupada's room, and then Prabhupada called him. So what are you talking about? Prabhupada, I was just talking about here and there and about devotees, Prabhupada. Prabhupada, this gossip will destroy our moment. This is what happens when we simply give in to gossip than to simply contemplate how to execute the order of the spiritual master. Let's discuss how to increase, how to help each other inspire in Krishna consciousness, and not to discuss about devotees, what other devotees are doing. And generally when we discuss about devotees, what they are doing, if it is not for Krishna Katha, then it is fault finding. It is enviousness. So immediately Prabhupada said, actually in other times also, he showed his beads and said, whenever you have time, chant Hare Krishna. And he said, don't try to teach your god brothers and give lessons to them. Just you chant Hare Krishna peacefully. And therefore, Sampati, when he heard about Jatayu, immediately he came to know that it's my brother. So he became positive. Just imagine, even the demons become positive hearing Krishna Katha. What has become devotees? Sometimes non-devotees, they are convinced that Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead. If we chant Hare Krishna, we'll become like you and become better than you probably. So they say sometimes, no, we won't chant Hare Krishna because you are convinced that if I chant Hare Krishna, I will certainly become surrendered to Krishna. So sometimes we lose faith in Krishna consciousness after some time. That, you know, will this work? But the others tell, no, you chant Hare Krishna, it is good for you. You become nice devotee. So sometimes we get instructions from non-devotees. Srila Prabhupada got indications from non-devotees. Oh, why are you selling this magazine? Why are you selling these small leaflets? News letters kind of thing. Why don't you print books? And therefore, this non-devotee karmi also gave some inspiration to execute the order of his spiritual master which he had given so many years ago. So Sampati came down and said, you bring me down, because his wings were burned. He narrates his story of how they were all flying and actually defeated Indra, he and Jatayu, and then they were trying to reach Surya and trying to protect Jatayu's wings. His own wings burned and Jatayu got lost and he crashed down. And then he was lying around a rishi's cave, and the rishi Nishakara said that you will get your wings back when some monkeys will come and ask you about Mother Sita. There'll be messengers of Lord Ram. And as soon as Sampati asked about Jatayu, the monkeys gave, they did Krishna Katha. They told about how Jatayu gave his life in the service of Lord Ram. They told the whole story. And Sampati said, please take me to the shore of the ocean. I just want to offer my last respects by offering oblations of water for my lost brother. And he was very happy. In fact, he became happy with the monkeys. He was thinking that they were my prey, and now he became their greatest friend. And he said, I will help you. I will give the message. I saw Mother Sita being carried away by Ravan, my son Suparshva. He was looking for prey, and then he met Ravan on the way, and he saw that Sita was being taken by her. But then Ravan told me, just you spare me now. You find some other prey. He was very defensive that way. So he left Ravan alone. And then he came and reported to Sampati, and Sampati knew that I have to give this message. But it was a long, long time. Nishakara Rishi also left his body and went to the heavens. And he was thinking, Guruji to nikal gaye. Abhi hamara kya hoga? Vachan to dekhe gaye, lekin abhi hai hi nahi, was samaksh nahi hai. They are not in front of me. What to do? Should I believe the order? And therefore sometimes when the Acharya leaves the planet, sometimes the confusion reigns in disciples, thinking that without the personal presence of the empowered representative, will be ever able to execute or will be able to reap the benefits of the order. But he kept patience and faith, just like Shabri kept patience, just like Puchri Kalota Baba we have waiting for Krishna to come, and he is still holding his pot. Similarly, in the life of an aspiring sadhaka, We need to develop patience and along with that faith. Simply patience with faith, without faith, will create resentment and thinking that, you know, it will make it mechanical. And simply faith without patience will become very, very hollow, in the sense that we will not be able to sustain our faith in the long run. So finally, the monkeys were again rejuvenated and said, "Let's go to the shore of the ocean." And he indicated, Sampati indicated the abode of Lanka, and immediately Sampati got back his wings also. So then finally, the monkeys arrived at the shore of the ocean, and what they saw was huge, limitless, expansive ocean to cross. Lanka was there, but there was a big ocean between them and Lanka. How would they ever be able to cross this ocean? It is impossible. And therefore, all of them started to think that this is again hopeless. We have reached again the point of hopelessness. Immediately, Jaman said, no, let's take a call. So whenever there is hopelessness, we should come into association and said, how it can be done? Not that how it is impossible. Sometimes we do how it is impossible. Oh, you also say it is impossible. I also say it is impossible. Because we all feel that, you know, better no one does it. Because then someone has to do it. So better no one does it. It's nice. But then, Chaman was one. He was intelligent, wisdom. He said, take a call. So everyone said, no, I can do, Mahinda said, I can do 60. The Vizhas, I can do 70. Sushant said, I can do 70. Jaman said, in my times, I could do 90 yojanas. And then I would circumambulate Vamandeva at that time. And now, Angad is saying, I can do at the most 100, but if I reach there, I will not be able to come back. I only have capacity to go there, I won't be able to come back. Immediately, Hanumanji was just sitting and not saying anything. Jaman reminded Hanuman that Hanuman and related the whole story of Hanuman's birth, childhood, and the curse. As soon as someone reveals his powers and potency, he will be able to accomplish the mission that he was sent forth for. So immediately, in fact, this is how spiritual life looks very, very difficult. In fact, there are so many complexities and there are so many difficulties and obstacles, and sometimes we keep on solving those problems. And sometimes solving these problems become fatigued and tired and thinking how it can be done. And then once Srila Prabhupada was in Mayapur, and the GBC committee gave a fantastic, they were going meetings for a long, long time. And then finally, they sent resolutions of a draft of all the resolutions, a very thick file. Prabhupada kept watching all those files, you know, flipping those sides. And then Prabhupada said, have you discussed how to improve the quality of chanting Hare Krishna in all these files? Is that one resolution, how to do that properly? And Prabhupada emphasized that though we may do our externalities, our chanting Hare Krishna is the mainstay of our bhakti. The power on which, the potency on which our spiritual life rests on is 99% on the chanting of the holy names. So therefore, if the task is so great, but then the potency to achieve that great task is also great. Therefore, the faith and conviction, the holy name, is of essence. Jaman, as soon as Hanuman heard, his original potency was revived. And Hanumanji is now ready to accomplish the mission. Hanumanji had three tasks in front of him. The first was Anveshan. Anveshan means to first locate Mother Sita. The second was Darshan. Darshan means to give the message of Lord Ram to Mother Sita. Darshan does not mean to see, but to give the message of the soul, the prayer to the Lord. And therefore, when we chant Hare Krishna, it is like Darshan. And that Darshan is that, Prabhupada said, what the secret of prayerful chanting is that, please, we pray to the Lord while chanting Hare Krishna, please, place me in the service of your, please place me in the society of your service. We cannot render Krishna consciousness a service in isolation. You may think we may do great service in isolation, but Prabhupada says that please place me in the society of your service. where the devotees are together serving Krishna. So Hanumanji expressed his courage in the first, and in fact the third mission was to take the estimation of the enemy and to create a fear in the enemy ranks by destroying a part of Lanka. So he was predetermined. There are three gurus in Ramayana. The first is Vishwamitra Muni. The guru unites the living entity with the Lord. Similarly, Vishwamitra Muni united Lord Ram and Mother Sita, like a jiva being united with the Lord. And then the next guru is Hanumanji. Again gives the message of Lord Ram to Sita and takes the message of Sita to Lord Ram. Takes the message of Lord to the living entities and then takes a message, takes that prayer of the living entities back to the Supreme Lord. So the third guru is Valmiki Muni. After Sita Devi is banished from the kingdom of Ayodhya, Valmiki Muni compiles the Ramayana and trains Lav and Kush to recite Ramayana. And when they go back in the assembly of Lord Ram, they narrate the wonderful epic Ramayana in a very poetic way, that Lord Ram is again united back with Mother Sita by this narration. And therefore, when we narrate, when we hear, when we speak, when we constantly hear these wonderful glories of Lord Ram, what is happening is that we are making that communication with the Lord through the agency or the medium of the spiritual master to express one's eagerness, readiness and enthusiasm to serve the Supreme Lord, to come back to the shelter to the Supreme Lord. So Hanumanji expresses courage, dhriti, by standing on the Mahendra Parvat. The human form is compared to this launching pad, favorable launching pad. He offered prayers to Surya, Vayu, Indra and Brahma. He sought blessings before embarking on this wonderful journey. And then he expanded his form, huge. He regained his composure. He focused his mind on the mission. It's like taking off a flight. A lot of time takes just to come for the flight to come to that stage. And then tries to take off. And that's how, and it then takes a vow. He takes a vow in front of the monkeys that I will reunite Sita with Lord Ram, and I will also demolish the city of Lanka. So immediately Hanumanji's form was 90 miles by 270 miles was the form that expanded originally, and he was soaring. It was a great soar in the sky, and all the demigods, the Charana Siddhas, Gandharvas, they offered beautiful flowers in the form of, they offered their encouragement in the form of these flowers. And immediately it was like Indra who ordered the ocean to encourage Hanumanji by allowing Menaka, the wonderful mountain, to arise on the bottom of the ocean and give a steady platform for Hanuman to reinforce his energy. It was a beginning of his journey. And journey, when it begins with commitment, what comes is facilities. Immediately when we try to execute Krishna consciousness, lot of facilities come, lot of comforts come. And immediately we become popular, we become senior over some period of time, and these facilities are like prisoners of the comfort zone. We may become happy with our devotional status after some time and stop looking for few further challenges. And therefore, Hanumanji's mood was that of urgency and accountability. I cannot take this because I am on a mission. I am servant of Lord Ram. Therefore, he just touched Menaka and he went ahead. So therefore, this shows Hanumanji's farsightedness, drishti. And that drishti means to to become dependent on the Lord without and being committed and not being dependent on others for one's devotional service. In that sense, Srila Prabhupada was once two of his disciples came and told Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada, this, where were you? Prabhupada asked them in the morning program, they were missing. So they Prabhupada asked them, where were you? So we were meeting with very influential people last night. Prabhupada said, yes, so what happened? Oh yes, so one devotee said, yes, we met this person and he, they told us to, they gave us address to meet some other people. So fine. And it asked the disciple, oh, what happened? You met some very influential person. He said, what happened? Oh, they also told me that you can meet these people and that people. Prabhupada said, I'll tell you the story of lion and crane. Once there was a bone that got stuck up in the throat of the lion. So the lion came to the crane saying that you have very nice beaks, long and thin beaks. I'll open my mouth and you just remove that bone out of my throat. The crane was thinking, this is a recipe for disaster, recipe for suicide. He said, no, I can't do that. He said, no, don't worry. I will not eat you up. Just, no, I'm very honest. At least this point, I'm having difficulty, therefore I have to be honest. So first you get out of this, then I will also award you a benediction if you do that. He said, come, okay, at least this is positive. No, it's not just neutral, I will not eat you, just saying that I will give benediction also afterwards. So the crane was thinking, put inside, took out the bone out of the throat and threw the bone outside and stood in front of the lion. Lion said, now go. He said, why are you standing now? He said, you said you were going to give a benediction. He said, you just thank God that you got the bone out of my throat and I have not eaten you. Go now. Don't ask for benediction. Otherwise, I'll benedict you in a different way. So, sometimes we think, we are looking. My seva, someone else can do nicely. So, let me just let him do it or that person do it. And I will simply wait for things to come in my life. I will simply depend on Krishna. Sometimes when you hear, we have to depend on Krishna, depend on Krishna, depend on Krishna. So people become so dependent that they stop trying. And that trying is a part of being dependent on Krishna. So that does not mean that just, that's meaning of another practical also. So therefore, not waiting for benedictions of people so that they will bless and they will grace and they will support and they will be sympathetic for us. Prabhupada said, you don't depend on anyone. You simply do your own duty without depending on so-called people around you. So therefore, Prabhupada was saying that this is to throw away and discard any complacency or the matter of fact laziness on part of an aspiring sadhaka. The challenge next was this challenge was a challenge of facilities by the way of by the benefits that come by performing devotional service. And the second challenge that came up, obstacle, was that of sent by demigods, sent by adidaivik. These are adidaivik challenges. And the demigods, they send Surasa, the demon, to devour. And then finally, Hanumanji, she expanded her mouth. Hanumanji expanded and they kept on expanding. That was a competition. And finally, Hanumanji became intelligent, became so small, entered into the mouth and said, I have fulfilled your promise that someone should just enter my mouth. So I entered and I've come out. So she gave blessings. And this mood of Hanumanji, while defeating Surasa, was that of being intelligently humble. Not just being humble, unintelligently. This was humility. Not that we are so humble that we get devoured by the vastness of Maya. But we show, as Narad Muni was saying to one of his snake disciples, who became a disciple, and Prabhupada, and like the snake told that, everyone is throwing stones at me. Narad Muni said that, why are they throwing stones at you? No, because I have stopped biting anyone. Now I become a humble Vaishnav now. So I should not bite anyone now. I become humble. Taro rapi sahishna. So I am giving respect to everyone. I am becoming humble. Narad Muni said, you are a serpent. Even if you don't bite, just show your fangs. Don't bite. That does not mean that we stop showing our fangs. Therefore, as soon as when there is a threat, as we are seeing, there is a threat to the existence of Mother Yamuna. And we are singing Jai Radha Madhav and we are Yamuna Tiravana Chari. But then if there is no Yamuna, we will not be able to visualize also, because we need some, when you go to Vrindavan, even if you simply see, of course, when you see simply buildings and buildings and buildings, sometimes we think, is this Lonavala or this is Vrindavan? Because something like that, no Yamuna, no Kunds, and therefore this is to be intelligently humble. Our moment today that we are going to have at 4 PM is that of reenactment of Chand Ghazi's moment against Chand Ghazi non-cooperation movement, but not in a non-violent way, but a little bit. We are going to shout slogans, raise slogans. We are going to let that passion a little bit engage in the service of the Lord, right? Not going to be so humble. No, we just show the board and just do nothing. So Hanumanji was practical. He was showing his prowess, and at the right time he went inside and said, okay, now let me go. So that's how devotees are. And therefore Prabhupada also was very, very intelligently humble. When he had to go to the land of Radharas Bihari, he first of all laid the cornerstone, he laid the foundation, put Ananta Shesh in place, and then he said, now there's a temple here. And then when they came to break the temple, Prabhupada also became very furious and he wanted to fight against it. So then they said that, okay, start building temple overnight what they have broken, because what's built is built and no one can move a temple, because Prabhupada had told Lord Radharas Bihari to sit tight. And how they were told to sit tight? Because Prabhupada laid that foundation, Ananta Shesh, in that cornerstone ceremony. Simika came. This was the challenge of the Devas. And Simika came and she was a demoness. She tried to grab the shadow of Hanumanji. And that was the demon of envy and fault finding, which Hanumanji simply conquered again by becoming huge and becoming smaller and then entering inside of Simika, going deep inside and tearing apart her. And then coming out. The envy cannot be just vanquished by just being humble, but simply we have to take this in a very insidious way. We have to enter deeply, because this is one anartha which cannot be engaged in the service of the Lord and must be given up at any cost. And therefore Prabhupada's one disciple was complaining about devotees. Prabhupada, your disciples are having neophyte, they are having this problem. And then Prabhupada told him, you become an example. Second letter he wrote, same complaining mode. Prabhupada said, told that they are serving, what do you expect out of them? Third letter he wrote again, complaining about devotees, same thing. Prabhupada said, you are a householder and you are simply earning for your sense gratification. What good are you doing? And then finally, Prabhupada said, try to understand this movement. This whole movement has been for service. We have to engage somehow or the other, ourselves and others and everything else in the service of the Lord. Therefore, this is why one should be very cautious about not being caught up in envy and fault finding, and rather seeing the positive in everything, in everyone. Whatever little someone is doing, to appreciate it and to encourage it there forward. Jadurani Mataji was doing painting and then she was having the nice painting of Krishna. It was very, very, very amateurish and there was not a good painting initially. The Prabhupada said, oh, this is okay and can do something more. And then Prabhupada said, oh, actually she has been sent by Krishna for painting. So then she thought, oh my God, I have been sent by Krishna for painting, then I must paint nicely. So automatically she tried to improve her services that way. This is how Hanumanji overcome. And then finally it was Lankini who came. And Lankini, as soon as Hanumanji was not tired at all when he went there. He was not at all tired, because he was energized by the total commitment and absorption in the mission of Lord Ram. And therefore Hansadutta Prabhu was sleeping in a small corner with Prabhupada in the initial days, and because of sleeping in very close to the spiritual master, he was not able to sleep. So every day, night, he would not sleep and he would see Prabhupada waking up. And then Prabhupada was, one day he got up and Prabhupada saw him, so you got up so early? Prabhupada, actually I was so nervous, I could not sleep. Prabhupada said, I also don't like to sleep. And then Prabhupada said, okay, I don't like my disciples also to sleep. And Prabhupada told him that our aim is to make eating zero, sleeping zero, sex zero, defense zero. We don't say, but our aim is that. That's how Prabhupada was. So he loved, okay, you're not able to sleep, that's good. You're not fatigued. And Prabhupada actually was not fatigued. He was tireless, inexhaustible. And that's how Hanumanji was inexhausted. And now his mission began. Sometimes we think, oh, all anarthas, anartha nivritti. But then the bhav, ruchi, asakti, bhav, prem is a long way. It's not just the end. That is just the end of the beginning. Right? That is called initiation. So when we get initiation, and then slowly, finally, Hanumanji went on to search for Mother Sita in all the palaces. And he was feeling guilty that he was searching in other places. And finally, Hanumanji was feeling hopelessness and despair, not able to find. But he said, when there is a desire and there is an effort, if this both are not given up, then success is for sure. Brahmananda Prabhu wanted to print, Prabhupada wanted to get the Krishna book printed from the Dai Nippon Press. And it was a time for getting the books being printed. And it was not in time for order to receive. It was supposed to go to San Francisco for the Rath Yatra festival. So Brahmananda Prabhu was constantly urging the Dai Nippon executives, get me this consignment. I want it from a spiritual master. The last day of his ticket, he was actually got the ticket and actually was about to go to San Francisco. At the airport tarmac, suddenly a black limousine came with five Dai Nippon executives in suit and coat, blue suit, and they all bowed down from their waist. And they offered that cartoon to Brahmananda Prabhu, saying that this is your consignment. And he said, thank you so much. And then he took up and immediately opened the cartoon. It was a beautiful silver, first printing of Krishna, the first print of Krishna with the silver package. And then as soon as he opened the box, the neighbor around him said, you know, what is this book? He said, this is my first book of my spiritual master. And he said, how much is this for? He said, $10. And sold the first book. And when he went back to Prabhupada and he brought it, Prabhupada was very happy. How many copies? He said, 20. But how many? 19. Only 19 remaining. I sold that one to the person. He said, very good. And Prabhupada had one book in his hand. Prabhupada said, so now sell every book, including this. Give and distribute Krishna to everyone. That was his intensity. So when there is intensity and there is endeavor, then there is no question of success in spiritual life. Only time separates. Therefore, this is so important. In fact, Hanumanji does so many great exploits. He is a first-class servant. He just didn't give the message to Mother Sita, but he also destroyed Lanka. And in this way, this is a first-class servant. Prabhupada told Hansadutta Prabhu that you become BBT trustee. He said, I don't know how to edit and I am very poor in English. He was a German. Prabhupada said, no, because you have translated all my books in German and you have distributed them, you have published them and I distributed them without my saying. Therefore, you understand the importance of my book, you become BBT trustee. Because you have done something without my saying. That is extra. That means that pleases the spiritual master when you do something beyond what the Guru simply expects of us. And that's how Hanumanji did. He was not just happy with success. He was simply wanting to do unlimited service for the mission of Lord Ram. Therefore, we have a very practical issue here again of saving the glory of this sacred river in which Lord Ram, Lord Krishna, in fact, performs so many unlimited pastimes. And simply so that simply just waiting, simply being non-violent or simply being sitting up here and just praying, as Prabhupada said, simply praying will not do. Do something practical. So devotees must not think that, oh, just because we have become devotees, therefore we must stop biting. If not, we can stop biting, but we should not stop showing the fangs. And therefore, we have a very important service to the Holy Dham, which is again the mission of the Supreme Lord. As Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sent the six Goswamis to reveal the Dham of the Lord. And that very same service is now being threatened. That this Dhams which are revealed are becoming again lost in oblivion by the unscrupulous materialistic minded men. And therefore, one must show one's solidarity to the mission by being personally convinced about it. It's not that someone else is going to do and we are just going to show the placards. We should do something more than that, because that's what we all have inherited, the mission of Lord Krishna, Lord Ram, and we all have been empowered with the potency of Hanumanji. Only that someone has to remind, and then after reminding, we don't have to stop acting. We do stop, we do start urging further and trying to do what best we can do. So this is the wonderful glories of Lord of Hanumanji. In fact, this is how Srila Prabhupada was so innovative, so much enthusiastic to preach. In fact, this very nice pastime which took place in, they got a church in one of the places, and Prabhupada went to the church and they saw that they were tainted, those glasses, typical churches, those benches. This pulpit was there where the priest would speak, and the stand, the podium was everything as it is. And the devotee said, should we remove all these things? Prabhupada said, no. Let the people walk in with shoes. Let people sit on these benches. Let our speaker speak from the same pulpit where the priest used to speak from. In fact, Vishnuchand Maharaj played the organ while giving the class, which is again a Western instrument. Prabhupada said, these Americans have become disenchanted with their church. So now we will enchant these Americans with Krishna consciousness in this very novel way. Let them come to the church, but they will hear Bhagavad Gita. So this was the first ISKCON church in the mission. Therefore, everything can be engaged very intelligently in Krishna's service. One must not leave anything unturned for the being engaged in the service of Lord Krishna and Lord Ram. Therefore, we have another opportunity right today to do something practical for the mission of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, for the mission of Srila Prabhupada. And I'd like to request, they will request us, but they will inspire us much more practically, because they love that. They love the Braj. They practically have, their heart and soul is not different from Vrindavan. So, His Grace Brajraj Prabhu and Radha Jivan Prabhu from Man Mandir, Barsana, and also they are campaigning for the saving of the Mother Yamuna. How it is practical, we will see very things in a very practical way. What can we do? And we have to keep crusading. It's not just that this is the end. We may have to keep persisting even after they have gone. Sometimes, therefore, we have to become... we have to take all possible opportunities to engage others also, friends, colleagues, everyone, to help and save this cause. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. Jai. I request Prabhuji to come and...